Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, he's Addy and I'm Mo.
It's true. That's true.
It's that kind of chemistry that has created such a popular podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because I am awesome and you would be the ugly duckling of the podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't have my quack whistle with me, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah. But you're not an asshole anymore, so that's okay.
No! That's impressive, is it not?
Yeah. We're 8 months.
We are 8 months, three quarters of the way through the year almost.
Yeah, and not once have you been an asshole.
That's it.
Not one little slip, nothing you want to tell us about, not like one little.
I wish I.
It almost happened or it did happen.
I was.
Corrected it immediately.
I was expecting it to be honest by now, but it just has to happen.
Wonderful. All right, so we talk wrestling. We do talk wrestling.
We do.
Addy is a recovering asshole.
Yes, and Mo is a fat fuck.
And he's doing well.
Very well. Thank you for all the cards and letters.
Yes, it's your support keeping it going.
It is.
So let's here we are. We're going to talk wrestling. What do you want to talk about?
Wrestling.
Okay. Let's open up then with Raw.
Okay.
Actually, let's not open up with Raw. Let's open up with. I think that we have a Twitter question from what was his name? A Brett, a Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
It was Brett the Hitman.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to know what we thought was going to happen at the SummerSlam.
Yeah. It is a big question, actually, for me. Is I realized one of the things that I don't know, and this is a good thing.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to win the Lesnar versus Punk match. The match that everybody really gives a shit about the most. Right? Like the main event. And that's... I also don't know what is the right answer. So it's a combination of both, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, you want to go in going, what the hell are they going to do? I can't talk myself into any finish is the thing here. I can't talk myself into Punk losing, Lesnar losing, or any sort of screw job or double count out.
Right.
And the whole thing, though, is, and this is old school Mid-South, you know, heat, right? There's a manager. He's constantly in the face of the guys.
Baby face.
Never. And the baby face, he never gets his. You just want to see that baby face get your hands on him at once. And when he finally does, that's money. But they have to know what's about to happen to make them pay.
Right. Yeah. And that's in arch cases, that was the WWF 80s thing with Heenan and with Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, there was always something of that, too. Yeah.
Even Fooge the Stooge.
They were more likely to get theirs. They were more likely to get laid out during a match than, but occasionally you would have the, you know, the gets 5 minutes with him or, you know, once he, yeah.
Yeah, that was later on when in the 90s where they did that with, you know, Yokozuna gets 5 minutes with Jim Cornette or Undertaker gets 5 minutes with Paul Bearer. Type deals, but they wouldn't have the audacity to recreate any 90s wrestling angle. They wouldn't.
Oh, like you mean, I don't know, throwing something in the river?
Like throwing something in the river and making that like a show-long angle, which I actually liked. I mean,
yeah.
It was, the best part of me to that was when Damian Sandow was walking backstage, and he goes past Sin Cara, mm-hmm. asking if he's seen Cody. And Sin Cara is going through, like, this crate of, like, styrofoam and stuff, and just, like, rifling through it. Like, what the fuck does Sin Cara need with anything in a production crate? But he's literally just swimming through it, like, just pretending he's looking for something.
Probably preparing for his next career.
That's true. That's true, but I didn't see any hedge clippers in there.
Ah, good point.
So, but yeah, it was just like, you see Cody, and he's just flipping through this thing. I'm like, what the fuck is Sin Cara doing?
anyways, back to the point, though. No, that, yeah, that
the
one. The SummerSlam. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think, what direction do you think they are
the
going?
Best
should they go?
Versus the Beast.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
You know.
It is good. As Heyman said himself, it's very marketable. Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so what happens with the Best versus the Beast? What are they going to do? What should they do? And should Punk get his hands on on Heyman now, or should it happen down the road and people are even more anxious for it, and it's even a bigger moment, and they definitely pay? I mean, this is always drawn when done right.
Oh yeah, there's two options. Does Heyman cost Punk the match, leading to, again, that down the line? But at that point, all Punk will have to do conceivably, is beat Curtis Axel.
Well, is that right? A one and done, right, between these two? Is the other thing.
Well, what is Brock?
What's Brock's schedule?
Yeah.
Does he have more matches on him this year? It doesn't appear that way.
But look at last year, right?
Yeah.
Last year, Brock did SummerSlam and he did Mania next.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Which leads me to, what about him putting, does Punk put him out? Does he put Punk out even? Because Punk is already beat up to hell again. So I don't see that happening.
I don't see that, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that you don't know what's going to happen. Because it makes you want to watch, really. You want to see what's going to happen.
There's
interest here.
What do they do with a double knockout finish? Like a Rocky II.
Yeah. I was thinking that, but again, if this was, I don't know, Payback, that's fine. As the main event of SummerSlam, I don't know you can get away with that. And it does depend on whether or not it goes on last.
Well, that's the thing, too, right? Is if it goes on, you know, third last or second last with the second last main event and you have the title match go on last, maybe you can do that. I'm just trying to think of a way that, like, both men beat the shit out of each other.
But also, if Randy Orton screws one of the two babyfaces out of the title and a heel holds the belt, do they go off the air that way? That's not really what they want to do either. So.
Yeah, well, that's true, and we'll get to that. But
double count out is such a screw job.
Oh, a double count out, a double DQ, no. That's a screw job.
A double knockout still, even.
I don't think so. I think if you do it right and both guys beat the ever-living shit out of each other to the point where they're both gone, then...
Look, at the end of the day, the thing is, these two are so different physically.
Yeah.
That people might be able to believe... I don't think people believe that. It feels like if Punk's going to win, it has to be a submission win.
Yeah.
Right? He has to lock in that submission.
Mark Henry and Big and Brock could beat the fuck out of each other, but Brock and Punk
and
can't.
Punk, it just seems like it doesn't seem like the right dynamic to do that finish. So I don't know. I really don't know what is the right move. It's not good for Lesnar to lose here.
It's not good for Punk to lose either.
I know.
But Punk, I think, can rebound better.
Well, Punk has two things going for him.
Actually, I don't think either one of them. I think either one of them can rebound.
Well, that's true, but it's just not good for either one of them two here. But I think Punk has one thing. If it is Heyman who causes the screw job, it doesn't take away his heat. It just theoretically pushes more heat.
Transfers it over to the and the real issue here is Punk and Heyman. They've made
for
that
sure.
clear. I mean, and so. It's just a matter of does Brock get the job done and Punk has to continue to battle through it en route to finally getting his hands on Heyman at Survivor Series, let's say. If Punk's team beats Heyman's team, then he gets that 5 minutes alone type deal, right? I mean, can you build that?
You can't have Punk versus Axel spinning out of this. You just can't. It's just...
No, I know. Then what do you do?
There's
like 8 pay-per-views in between Survivor Series and SummerSlam. Well, there's not. There's 3.
Yeah,
but still.
I know.
One too many. It's probably 2 too many.
There's a lot. I know.
It's probably 3 too
many. Could. Yeah, probably is. But, well, not TNA.
It's that TNA,
otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could Heyman manage, say, Big Show?
Not if Big Show is going babyface and teaming with Mark Henry.
We don't know that, though.
Yeah, it seems to be the direction. But he could, but He could. He could go manage somebody
maybe
else.
He's gone babyface already once over this last year for
that's true.
One paper
for 15 seconds.
Again, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, he did it
twice.
Again. Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, twice.
Once
yeah.
in each
Yeah.
Yeah, he turned babyface for like an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not, it's almost his gimmick. because then you could push off, you know, Punk versus Big Show for a little while. Heyman and Big Show have both a real life friendship and a past in the WWE.
Managerial, yeah.
And you could, and then maybe somewhere around Royal Rumble, you build up Axel enough to the point where you can do that, and it doesn't seem like
mm-hmm.
such a stretch or a fall for Punk.
Yeah.
You know.
It's too bad that it's...
I mean, but, again, this would lead to the same, almost the same story as last year. You know, Brock wins, and then he gets a rematch at WrestleMania where he does the job to whoever, right? Like he did with Triple H, and then he would do it again to Punk. I mean,
yeah, but I don't know that they're concerned about that. That's the whole point, is I don't think they're concerned about having a 50-50 split with Punk and Brock the same way
again,
Captain Insecurity wanted
Brock?
His win back.
Yeah, it's true, but what about Brock and Rock?
Well, that's it. I mean, Brock and Rock, Brock and Taker.
There's another reason why Brock really shouldn't lose, Brock and Taker.
Yeah, but Brock, if Brock loses at SummerSlam in August, it really ain't going to matter by March. No.
There's a certain point where you start to lose your aura.
Yeah, but
I think he's a ways away from that.
Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah.
Now's not it. I mean, if he was losing to Christian, okay.
Yeah.
But he's losing to Punk, a long-standing guy on top, longest reigning, blah 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 champion. I mean, they've done their best. I mean, to anybody watching, maybe not to the casual fan, but anybody watching wrestling, CM Punk is a top guy.
Yeah, well,
so
sure.
and he solidified as a top guy. So
yeah.
Brock losing to a top guy doesn't hurt him at all. Spinning off into fighting Taker at Mania or Rock at Mania or whoever at Mania.
It doesn't at all.
No, it does not. Brock losing to Punk or Punk losing to Brock, your WrestleMania buys are the same. Exactly the same.
I guess here's the thing. I guess I look at it this way. Brock is what right now? Is he... He's 2-2 since he came back?
Is that all? No, he said more than that.
No, I don't think so.
He said 3.
2-2, isn't he?
Okay, maybe he's had...
He lost to Cena. He beat...
He said 1-2...
This
will be number 5,
Triple
right? This will be number 5.
He's
yeah,
two
he's 2-2. And what does that hurt him? It has.
No, it hasn't.
Here comes the pain, or here's the music, and it's fucking Brock, because he's the guy that they've done the closest thing to Andre the Giant in recent memory, and that he's not around a lot.
Yeah.
And when you hear that music, and Brock comes out, fuck, it's on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Yeah. And again, enough time has passed. He loses to Punk, and he comes back and beats the fuck out of Undertaker in February.
Yeah.
That ain't going to matter.
Yep, that's right.
You know, so...
I don't know. It's...
He fucks up Undertaker's chance at the Royal Rumble. Undertaker comes in and says he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and, you know, after how many years, and Brock fucks that up for him and beats him up.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get in the Rumble.
It's still... People will still care about that match, for sure. I mean, you're right. There just is, in my mind, especially, I have a theory, and I still hold on to it. It's an old-school wrestling thing, and especially if the guys are making many appearances, that you protect the guys that draw. But you're right. I think you're right.
But how do you get new guys?
He can lose here. He can.
Yeah, he can.
But it's not, I don't want to see either him or Punk necessarily lose. Somebody has to, though.
Somebody has to, and I would go with Brock.
Yeah, I would go with Punk and have Heyman cost him the match.
Well, and I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I wouldn't
have a problem with that.
And
I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely. But again, that makes me think that I wonder, then it probably isn't going on last.
Right. And then,
Daniel Bryan wins the belt outright, and we don't get a cash-in of the Money in the Bank. From Orton, which is also possible, then that's the feel-good moment they want to go up there with.
We've watched Raw. We've seen Daniel Bryan, and that's the other match that people have interest in, is Daniel Bryan and John Cena. And the we saw Vince and Daniel Bryan, albeit edited, on Raw. And we saw Vince in the back and Stephanie's big idea of the corporate makeover.
Where have I heard that before?
Oh, fuck. I'm trying to think.
Was it in the 90s?
Well, in the 90s?
Yeah.
98.
No.
Yeah.
What character? Stone, was it famous or something? Somebody we barely remember.
I think it was Kurgan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, yeah. Or Stone Cold.
Or Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
In the suit.
Yeah.
Fuck. Can I get a picture? You mind if we get a picture?
Yeah.
Together, you and Stone Cold, a picture?
Well, that was
cool. That's that a big fun. Grin on his face.
Yeah, this won't be as good.
No, it
will not. That'll probably be all right because Daniel Bryan's good enough. But, yeah, I mean, I do think Daniel Bryan needs to get cleaned up a little bit. But
isn't it weird that it used to be Vince that only your heels could have facial hair?
Yeah.
And now, as they go...
Well, even 3-4 years ago, you saw, you know, somebody getting... Like, Randy Orton would come out with some facial hair, and you'd go, okay, he's turning heel.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And now the guy with the beard, who they're talking about maybe shaving the beard off in this corporate thing, is the one that's swerving everybody and leaving SummerSlam as Vince's guy and a heel at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I guess.
That's where I think they're going. When I watched Vince and Triple H and Stephanie's interaction there, that's exactly what I thought was Vince, and he's talking about you can't win and it's deep down. I want someone to beat Cena. Yeah, that's, to me, it just come to me that Daniel Bryan's the corporate champion and turning.
That would be...
Yeah, a disaster. That's how I see, though.
That is... Of all the things that have crossed my mind, that has never even come into play. And I'm not saying it's impossible. And some of it, but it's not... Oh, I don't like... Oh, man, I can't see that. How could that work?
Well, here's the thing. They're throwing shit into rivers. They're giving corporate makeovers.
Yeah.
They're doing late night. Somebody watched the Attitude Era DVD for fuck's sake. That's what it was. And that's what I said. This keeps in theme with that. Is the swerve for that? And I see the setup of Vince so adamant that Daniel Bryan turns. I don't want to see it. It's just the feeling I got.
Yeah, no, it's not an impossibility. That's for damn sure. I just can't see. I still don't see. They're trying to keep John Cena as the number one babyface in the company. If they do that, but at the end of the day, John Cena will still get the John Cena getting the John Cena reaction.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan will still get the Daniel Bryan reaction.
Oh yeah, putting him with Vince does nothing because Vince isn't going to be with him every second of the day.
No.
And yeah, he's just, it's not going to. Yeah, it's stupid. It's dumb. I just that
never crossed my mind.
That's what I thought of.
A complete possibility. You're right.
And god awful. I mean, I'm hoping the more realistic possibility would have been, as we talked about, is that just Randy Orton cashes in and he's Vince's guy.
I hope that Cena turns. That's what I hope.
And he's Vince's guy.
Yeah.
That's the swerve.
Maybe that's.
I want to see Cena lose. I got you all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then I could deal with that.
Yeah.
But, wow.
I guess that's it, though. We're not expecting, and you usually see this, we talk about the big summer angle, which is supposed to set business on fire, and they've done it for the last 3-4 years, and we haven't actually seen it this year yet. So I guess the anticipation is the big summer angle this year actually happens at the pay-per-view for once, instead of being culminated there, or, you know.
No, the big summer angle this year, though, is actually happening in TNA, because... tomorrow, or on Impact, on Thursday, there's going to be a Mystery Man debut.
Oh, yay.
I know.
Yay.
My question is, why haven't they done this before?
Oh, I don't know. It's, yay.
10-10-10. It's not Dave Bautista. That was his latest video.
Dave Bautista made him a heel singing?
No, the Mystery Man on TNA's website came out and said, I am not Dave Bautista.
Yay!
They are good at this.
Nope.
Fuck. It's a mystery!
Because it's 1997.
Yeah, but to come out and go, I am not Dave Bautista. Oh, good. I was going to watch if it was Bautista.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not.
Well, thanks for taking away that possibility.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And we don't want to get your hopes up. It's nobody that big.
Yeah.
Not a star of that.
I'm not nearly that important. Fuck.
Terry Funk.
It's probably Taz, because he wasn't on last week.
Yay!
Oh, fuck. It won't be King Mo, because King Mo is fighting.
Oh, okay.
So it won't be him. You know what, bitch, it is? It's probably Matt Morgan.
Fuck. My first thought was it's Doc. It's Luke Gallows there. That was my first thought. So.
Yeah, fuck.
Yay!
Mystery! fuck. Anyway, let's go back to SummerSlam, because I care about that.
Yeah, well, we covered everything, though, that I care about.
Bray Wyatt's going to fight Kane.
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt's going to beat Kane.
And it's going to be
It's just a matter of if he beats him because of his family, which is the likely thing.
Yeah.
He'll beat him, though, and... Again, is it lead? I have the feeling Bray Wyatt's family is going to grow. So it's a matter of who joins it and what the storyline is to do so.
Well, yeah, but at that time, at the same time, I don't want to see his family grow. Oh, yeah, I guess does Kane come in? But that seems dumb. I don't like that.
So you're saying that there's a strong possibility.
So the next member. But no, we talked about Matt Morgan, we talked about Doc. What I would actually like to see is if he could slowly gain two more members.
Sure.
Again, for Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
But they won't, because they don't believe in that Survivor Series gimmick anymore.
Wow.
So, but that's what I would do, is I would have them build up two more members.
Battleground.
Yeah. You know who I'm hoping? I'm hoping Brady Boone returns for that, as Battle Cat.
I don't remember Brady Boone, Battle Cat.
You don't remember Battle Cat?
I remember Battle Cat, sort of, at WCW, right?
No, WWF.
Really?
Yeah, early 1990. Awful. Yeah.
No.
He wore, a fur on his head. No, he's not fur face, but he had a cat.
Is he a barbarian?
Hmm?
He wore a fur on his head.
He didn't know he had antlers.
Oh.
Too. There's no antlers.
Barbarian had antlers?
Barbarian had antlers.
Yeah.
No, he was just a cat that did flips.
Huh.
So he can come back. You're thinking of Wildcat Willie.
No.
No?
No.
In WCW?
No.
The mascot cat?
No.
On WCW Saturday night?
I'm thinking of the big cat.
Ernie Ladd.
Yeah.
Ernie Ladd.
In 1990?
Yes.
In WCW?
Oh, yes. That was Mr. Hughes.
There you go.
Curtis Hughes. Big cat Curtis Hughes.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not him.
I'm not thinking of him, actually.
No.
No.
He could come back.
Yeah, he could.
He's not going to.
No.
He's still alive?
He had wellness issues.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But what else we got? We're going to have Cody against Sandow in some form.
Yep.
I would suggest that we do the one-on-one match at SummerSlam and do for the briefcase at Night of Champions.
That works for me.
You know, as a championship opportunity.
And
that's
why you have
right?
Sandow win SummerSlam, Cody win at the
And Cody can win at the champ.
Yeah. Or turn around to challenge Del Rio.
Well, you challenge Del Rio. If Randy Orton's a heel and he's the champion, you challenge him, right? I mean, so
it's
doable, right?
Yeah. How does Randy Orton become the champion?
I think he just cashes in at SummerSlam if he does.
Yeah, but you're talking about different belts. The briefcases are...
I guess he can't go after Orton, Kenny. He can only go after that the world title.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At least right now.
Yeah, so Del Rio or, like I say...
Oh, fuck. Yeah, sorry.
The Tristan's not winning. We all know that.
No, but it's going to be a good match. And
it's going to be a good match, yeah. It'll be the best match that they could have probably with Del Rio at this point in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got history.
Yeah.
Christian beat him for the title, right? In a ladder match.
It's a storyline.
Yeah.
It's a good storyline.
One more match.
Logical one.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of shit, though.
I'm glad for Christian that he's, you know, come back after being on the shelf for so long and had the injuries, and he's getting a significant, a noticeable match
at
SummerSlam.
You think they'll make it three-way with Rob Van Dam?
I wouldn't say it's impossible. I don't think so, though. I really don't know what the hell they're doing with RVD, though.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
the truth is, though, RVD, do you need to put him in a great match? No. What do you need to do with RVD? Have him come out there, squash somebody, hit the frog splash, get the crowd happy.
Yeah, is he in the pre-show match?
No, not pre-show. But you could protect him. You could have him come out there and beat up all three members of 3MB.
Yeah, but not as an advertised match, right?
No. Not as an advertised match. Just something to pop the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. You could do that, and that should worry. He's local, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't have to fly in. You know, he gets somebody else to drive him.
Oh.
It does tend to be hot there.
It's hot in California, yes.
Yeah.
But maybe Sabu could drive him.
I thought he was driving the plane.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Don't go there.
I just remember hardcore, what is it, the hardcore, Barbed Wire City?
Yeah.
When Shane Douglas did Sabu goes in the hospital and they're like, is he with someone, is he with someone with a medical background? Raven?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That made me laugh.
Oh, well, Billy Roth wasn't available.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo.
But I'm trying to think of any other matches on the fest that are garnering interest thus far. I don't think so.
Well, there is the Shield versus the Henry and
Big Show,
right?
Yeah, which is...
We'll kind of see how that plays out.
I was going to say, that hasn't happened yet, so yeah. We'll wait and see, I guess, on it. I mean, I guess the Kane and Bray hasn't happened, but it seems likely.
Yeah, it's as good as happened.
And the other matches have just, you know, been announced. Arnold, the Intercontinental Championship?
I don't know.
It seemed like he was having an issue with The Miz, right? And
yeah.
Miz is the host.
Yeah.
Yes. Of the show.
Yes, he is the hostess.
He is the hostess.
With the leftist.
Is he still banging Maurice?
I don't know. Probably.
Well, because they live out there, so...
Yeah.
If Maurice comes with him.
Yeah.
That'd be okay. Yeah.
So that won't happen.
No. One of the all-time best divas.
Mm.
Not a total diva, though.
No. All right, let's go there. I did not watch it. You did.
I did watch it. I watched
it
yesterday.
I don't watch reality shows. I had no desire to watch this.
Okay, but did you watch
especially
this?
Especially after seeing the previews and the setup and the promo the week before in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't do it.
So great.
So you watched it.
The show is so great.
So great because it's so bad.
Oh, yes. These new divas. Well, okay, the whole thing is, it starts off that like 7 days before WrestleMania. And then a week before WrestleMania. Anyway, and they introduce everybody. They introduce all, whatever it is, the Funkadactyls and the Bellas and Natty and then the two new chicks, JoJo and Eva Marie.
Yeah.
And then they go and they show a little bit of the Bellas, actually, at first, that Nikki Bella is banging John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And Brie Bella is banging Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And they actually did, I thought this was actually good, in that they really separated the two. Like, you know, like now one has tits and is a little heavier, and the other one's skinnier and doesn't have tits?
Yeah.
The one with Cena is shockingly enhanced. But
probably just from banging him.
Probably. But they had their thing.
Transfers.
But they do their thing, and they're their couple, and Nikki's into all this girly girl stuff, and like, Cena bought her, like, an Escalade.
Brie's into that, right? No, wait.
No, Nikki.
Nikki, okay.
Is all into that, and Cena bought her a truck, an Escalade, I think it was, or something, anyway.
Bought her, in quotation marks?
Huh?
You mean the show bought it for her, rented it for her, and she pretended?
Whatever, Cena bought her that, and then Daniel Bryan. And
when I think of girly girl, I think of Escalade.
Yeah, I know. It's this big NASCAR thing that she always had her eye on and blah, blah, blah. But she likes shit.
Yeah.
Whereas Brie...
So you're saying she's shallow.
Yeah.
And materialistic.
That's the gimmick, yeah.
Yeah.
Brie comes up. Brie's talking about how she likes...
Seen as a chump.
Seen as a chump. And Brie comes off very like Daniel Bryan. Actually, makes sense that they'd be together. Not quite vegan, but is very like likes to go to the farmer's market and buy the stuff like fresh fruit and foods and vegetables and likes to cook, and you know is very
down to earth
and thrifty. Like you know won't spend if doesn't have to. And so you get the two that way. And so it's like, and then even at one point, Dan O'Brien's sitting in the kitchen with, like, their mom and the two of them, and he's like, just from a guy's perspective, he bought you a car before he bought you a ring. But the gimmick is Cena's been married before, and so does Cena ever want to get married again?
No, he doesn't.
And Nikki would like to get married and have kids, and does Cena want that? And that's their whole. That was the early dynamic.
That's
there.
The whole fake dynamic they're doing.
Yeah, that's that dynamic. And then Brian and Brie seem like they're going ring shopping.
Oh,
right. And I think they're engaged now, actually. But they were going ring shopping, and so that was what was freaking them out.
Pretty soon, then she'll take his virginity.
Maybe.
And their
wedding night. Yes. Yeah. He's a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a vegan.
Not anymore.
No, he eats meat. But the thing is, then they forward over, now it's more about WrestleMania, then they go to Natty, and it's 5 days before WrestleMania. And the new head of talent relations, I forget her name, like Geddes, Janet Geddes,
has
or
she
Jane
fired
Geddes?
Yet already?
Maybe, actually. But anyway, no, this isn't TNA.
Okay.
She comes and she sits Natty down 5 days before WrestleMania to explain that she won't be on the card.
Really?
I know.
I expected her.
I was like,
for months,
and the best
storyline they built up for her.
I know.
To throw that out and just, you know, kick it to the curb like that.
Just drop it cold.
Yeah.
Jesus. And it was like, gonna like semi-main.
Oh, I know.
But you know what?
Invest all that TV time in somebody, then don't put them on WrestleMania.
What the fuck? But the thing is, this came along, like, if you didn't watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And if this is like the audience, if they're going for the E-Network audience and you didn't know any better, then they did that. They told that story. Like, now I got to call my family. They were all going to come down and watch it. Now I got to call them and tell them I'm not on it. And
the planes would be pissed off because 200 people were coming.
Hmm?
Full flight, you know.
Well, they couldn't, though, because there's a weight limit, and the Anvil had to be on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anvil does make an appearance on this show.
Oh, fuck.
With Bill DeMott. There's a tag team for you. In the training thing when Natty's helping to I don't know what she's doing, she's training, and
really?
They just show her training, and Anvil and Bill DeMott are just watching because they wouldn't be able to show her anything.
True.
But so they do that, and then they talk about the Divas match. Oh, then they say, well, what is the Divas match? Like, what is the women's match on WrestleMania? And then so they explain it to him that it's going to be Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls against Rhodes, the Rhodes Scholars, and the Bellas.
Yeah.
Is the match, right? So then conveniently, Nikki and Brie then show up.
Oh.
I know. They're like, oh, hi.
Oh, man.
Oh, congratulations, your match. Then they ask Natty if...
Sometimes these things work out.
I know. It's like wrestling with shadows.
Kismet.
Right? Like, you just happen to have a camera.
Yeah.
And it's just something they said once.
Mm-hmm.
But then they ask Natty to chaperone the two new girls.
Oh, yeah.
So she's going, well, fuck, now not only am I'm good enough, and I'm such a veteran, and I'm so respected that I need you to look after these two, babysit these two girls, but, oh, by the way, you can't be on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That was what Natty said, right? So that was what they were playing. So that was the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Then they bring in these two new girls.
The Ugly Duckling.
Yeah, the Ugly Duckling. Then they bring in...
By the way, having seen her in person there at the Royal Rumble,
yes.
Is more beautiful off camera than she is on camera. She looks good on camera.
But they made...
In person?
They made sure to make her look undone when she was going down to meet Geddes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So...
But it's real, right?
It is. It's all real to me.
Mm-hmm.
Still real to me.
Still.
But then the new girls come over, and... Geddes says to Eva Marie, who has black hair and little red highlights or whatever, we want you to go blonde, which is just, like, oh my god. And then Natty's going like, well, what the fuck? Well, they can't go, she can't go, she can't keep her hair color because we have the Bellas and they have that hair color. So we need you to go blonde. Yeah. Yet, I'm blonde. So what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's basically, so it really is the first, probably like.
Somehow I don't picture her saying what the fuck, though.
The first 20 minutes of this is basically, this is how Natty gets dumped on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So this is, so it's a shoot. But yeah. That's
okay,
it. So then, the chick goes to get her hair blonde.
Yeah.
And she just can't do it.
Oh, no.
So she says no.
It's just too crazy to get your hair blonde.
So she changes her hair, like, red.
Ooh.
Like Alicia Fox red.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Then she goes to Diane, back to Jan Getty.
Does she have a box, by the way, this next girl, this new girl, by the way, yet?
I don't know. I think she's still loose.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you go over, and she's like, what happened to the blonde? She's like, I just couldn't do it. Da, 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 da. He's like, well, I like it. These are like the dramatic pause. Actually, I like it. She goes, but in the future, if we tell you to do something, just fucking do it. So.
This sounds awful. I thought you said it was good.
Oh, no. And then, that part was awful. But that part made me laugh because it's like, yeah, sure. They tell you to fucking dye your hair blonde and you don't do it and you have like a week in the company.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But maybe she's too fat to be on TV. I don't know.
Like Taylor Hendricks.
Like Taylor Hendricks. Then they go and they're doing Mania rehearsals. They go to do WrestleMania rehearsals. And for the opening match there, for the Divas match. And Brodus Clay, and they don't show this, but Brodus Clay yelled at the Funkadactyl. I don't remember if it was Tracy or Nadine. The one that was on Tough Enough that said Melina against Alicia Fox, right?
The one who drove drunk and then said she worked at Wells Fargo.
Yes, yes. And she's banging some guy named Vincent.
Yeah, because the other one is banging
Uso.
Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, and they showed a bit of that, too. You know, they're wrestlers or whatever. And that, but...
Does anybody tell Tyson Kidd how ugly his girlfriend is?
Not yet, but Tyson wasn't on this show. So, but Vincent found out that Brodus yelled at the Funkadactyl chick. So... He was all mad and wanted to go kick Brodus' ass.
What does he do for a living?
I don't even know, but no.
How big is he?
No. Yeah, exactly.
No, seriously, how big is he?
He's,
what does he look like?
He's bald. He kind of looks like, he's not big. Like, he's a big, normal big guy, but he's not a wrestler big guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a, kind of think maybe low-key.
Okay, okay.
You know, maybe a bit bigger.
How old is he?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But... So then they're all trying to calm him down, and
does he like to drink?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
What do they have in common then?
I know, right? The other Funkadactyl though.
Oh yeah.
Is all like, you can't do anything.
Steph Atney doesn't make an appearance on this, does she?
Not this one. Next week. I think she did. I think she made of and hugged Natty. Oh,
okay.
Briefly. Hmm. But anyway, so then the other Funkadactyl's all like, don't. If your boyfriend fucks this gig up, then we're both fucked. So, like, your career is my career, blah, blah, blah.
Plus, we're at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so the Funkadactyls are fighting.
So, why did he yell at her? We don't know.
We don't know. They didn't show it. So he got mad at this, and then so they all tried to take him out and calm him down, and then the Funkadactyls got mad at each other because, you know, the drinker...
Is this where they do the lockup? The two of them don't like
each other. No, they did a lockup. They were friendly doing a lockup. They were just having fun doing a lockup.
But they don't really get along, right?
No, I guess not.
They're
tag team
partners, after all.
Yeah.
Do we know if Vince Russo is behind booking this show?
Ooh, I don't know.
Very possible.
It is possible.
It's sounding very likely.
So, the culmination of this, anyway, is that, of course, that 8-man tag got bumped from Mania.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
So, all the girls are... just dejected that, you know, those veterans, the Bellas, worked all their lives to get to WrestleMania.
I know.
And didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was the show.
So can we stop talking about it now?
It was funny. It was. It was extremely amusing.
So you set your PBR.
I will watch it until it stops amusing me.
Well, every week you'll give me an update, and every week I won't give a shit.
This is true. This is true.
Kind of like everybody else, our listeners, when we talk about TNA.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do we need to do anything else? Ratings. Oh, no. SmackDown. I got one more thing to say about fucking SmackDown.
Okay.
I enjoyed the Damian Sandow stuff, I thought. You know, funny. What did he say? Good evening, half-wits of Corpus Christi or something when he come out.
Yeah.
Fuck,
yeah.
I laughed. I was still laughing about that this morning, I think.
Yeah.
I was
one of the unwashed masses. I take offense.
I know. Well, you have a good sense of self. I work in a place called Country Hills, and I was wanting to go in
and
say Country Hills, and I wanted to walk in and say greeting half-wits of Country Hills.
That would have been nice. I'm actually going to walk into my office tomorrow and do that.
Yes,
because I can get away with it.
That's true. But the Dolph Ziggler, AJ.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Which part?
Just like, you know, we talked about, like,
screwed up the build, you think?
We talked how great Dolph would be when he was turned babyface, and
yeah,
he did his double
turn,
and it seemed like it was great. Then it's like, AJ's in the ring being all psycho, and has, like, stolen his wallet and passport, and he's all like, at one point he went, whatevs.
Yeah. No, they don't get, they struggle to understand what makes somebody a babyface.
Yeah.
And they don't want to change his personality. They don't want to do what they did with Randy Orton and make him a smiling baby face that failed. They want to do what they did with Randy Orton when it's like, okay, we don't change his personality much. It's just now he's a baby face.
Yes.
But they don't understand the subtle shifts that need to happen to make this work. And this is why I said, I think it was last week, I said I could see Cody Rhodes actually surpassing him as a baby face because I don't trust them to do this well. And I've had a kind of bad feeling about it. Ever since he did the, on Chris Jericho, he hit the zigzag from behind on Jericho when it wasn't needed.
Right after he turned,
oh, they're going to fuck this up. They're not sure what to do with him as a babyface.
Yeah.
It's like WCW didn't know what to do with Bret Hart when he got there.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with him as a babyface right now. And
and this isn't helping, though.
No, God, no.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It was I fast forward after it was just painful to watch.
Yeah. Nobody actually, no adult male says the word whatevs.
Yeah, well, exactly. Ever. No, exactly.
Ever.
And it was just like, she stole his wallet, stole his money, blah, blah, and he's like,
whatevs.
Yeah, whatevs.
I'd be like, you fucking bitch, give me my shit back.
Yeah, it's like, well, and that, but that was the whole thing, is he's trying to show that he's too cool, that she's not getting to him.
Yeah.
But in reality, even the coolest guy with a psycho bitch, when they steal wallets, they get mad.
Yes.
And they're like, you cunt. Like, give me my shit back.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking psycho.
Yeah.
I'm going to come down and fucking take this shit.
Yeah, give me my shit and leave me alone.
Yeah, give me my shit back and I'll go get a fucking restraining order or something,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's, you know, and you know, I mean, restraining order, fine, it's wrestling, blah, 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 I understand that.
They've never been used in wrestling.
Yeah, no.
Well,
no. But the fact is that, yeah, the fact that he was just trying to show, oh, you're not getting to me, it reeked of an insecure person who really was seething inside that didn't want, you know what I mean? Like, it was awful. It was awful. So that was SmackDown.
All right.
And then the ratings.
Yeah.
We had 1.3 million views for Total Divas.
On Sunday,
and then 1.5 million after Raw.
So let's say 2.7 million people saw that first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or about as many as saw Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the lead-in to Total Divas on E! On Sunday.
Right. Or as many people saw SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which is up, actually. It was getting in that 2.2 million viewers level.
Yeah.
And then last week, it got 2.5.
That's pretty good.
And then this week, it got 2.6 or something. Yeah, almost 2.7. So,
that's pretty good.
It's been,
I think it's that a lot of people are turning into sci-fi because they're hoping to catch another showing of Sharknado.
Yes. Is that the gimmick? Is it they're never going to show it again?
They've already shown it a few times.
Have they?
As far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen it yet, so they haven't shown it enough.
I know, I was trying to watch it, too, after I heard
fucking
about it.
Sharknado.
I know. I watched Malibu Shark Attack.
It's
yesterday.
It's second. And it doesn't have Brooke Hogan in it. That's the amazing thing. It's a shark movie on sci-fi without Brooke Hogan.
No.
And yet, it has Tara Reid, basically the same fake tits.
Yeah, mini Brooke.
Yeah, with more talent.
By the way, Taylor Hendricks, too fat to be on TV.
Yeah.
Brooke Hogan, on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor Hendricks said that Dixie told her that on her birthday. I call bullshit on Taylor Hendricks.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Still funny, though.
Yeah.
Raw, 3.3.
Can you imagine, like, if that was true, that would mean I would never get on TV.
Thank God.
So it's unlikely that that rule exists.
That means you'd never get on a movie screen.
Even an IMAX?
God. With those DVX chairs.
Moe's turning. Watch out!
Yes, Moe is actually going to be on a big screen in the near future when they do a remake of Richard Pryor's Moving.
I'll be playing the role of King Kong Bundy.
Yes. Are you going to lose weight? Not an asshole. 3.7 million viewers for Raw.
Yeah.
On this taped episode.
So was that a 2.9?
About that, yeah. 2.9, yeah.
So the same as it always is.
Yeah,
that'll be even down. The question is, do they go back down to a 2.6, 2.5, 2.4, 2.3 come football season?
That's the thing, right?
Right.
And time will tell. I think it's probably likely. 2.5.
I have the feeling that, football always has great ratings. I feel that there's an even extra big buzz this year towards the NFL because it's been such a tumultuous off season. So.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. But, then again, maybe people will stop watching the NFL because Aaron Hernandez killed somebody. Other people, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was on steroids.
That's true. That's true. So there you go.
Too bad he didn't hang himself.
Yeah, yet. But I found something on WWE.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the 10 greatest wrestlers to never wrestle in WWE.
I can already see that this list is bullshit.
Why?
They have New Jack.
Yes! New Jack is great.
For fuck's sake.
Are you kidding? You know, in like 1999, what would you have loved to have New Jack host a talk show on Raw?
Well, remember when he was on our show, he threatened to cut me.
That's true, see? All right, let's go to number 10.
All right.
Hopefully it is New Jack.
Hopefully, New Jackson's not actually on the list.
Huh.
Magnum T.A.
Magnum T.A., yeah, it's true.
Low even. If Magnum T.A. is lower than New Jack.
I don't know if this is in order. But
it says number 10.
It does say number 10, that's true. So, Magnum T.A. Do you think he would have?
Yeah, I do think he would have. If not for his car or a motorcycle accident at the end ended his career. He would have been NWA World Champion.
Yeah.
And then much like a lot of guys like the Arn Andersons and Tully Blanchards and Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flairs, who end up at least short term over in WWF at the time, he would have as well. In fact, I think he might have lasted there. I still think he would have been a great long term champion.
Well, I mean, you think he had his accident in 86.
Yeah.
So, you still...
Yeah, we're talking WrestleMania coming
two.
Out. It's just WrestleMania 2 a little while after
yeah.
WrestleMania
2. So, I mean, if he does get the title, when would that have been, though? That would have been him instead of Sting, right?
Yeah.
In 88, probably.
87, I think he was probably already being geared for the title in 86. So maybe 87. Could have been 88.
Well,
right?
Because he was a U.S. champion, right? Or
yeah.
was in that hunt. So the way
yeah.
things were slower then, you'd see him be the U.S. champion for a while and then go for a hunt. So that 88... Probably,
now,
you know.
I understand the idea was for Nikita Koloff, Nikita Koloff was supposed to take the title from him, the U.S. title, so that he could transition into the world title against Flair.
Okay, well that, even 87, 88.
That doesn't, yeah, but still, he would have, somewhere between 86 and 88, he would have become world champion, and he might have taken Sting's spot.
Right, and then you look at, then when does he go to
WWE? I think Sting still would have gotten over, though, but...
Sure, but then when did he go to WWF is the question, like 90, 91?
Something like that, yeah.
Same time as Dusty?
Probably about that time, yeah.
You know? So then you think of, like, Magnum TA against Jake Roberts.
Yeah, how great would that be?
You know, or against Savage.
Yeah.
Just like Dusty,
so
right?
Great. That would have been so great. Magnum TA was, look him up on YouTube. He was really,
yeah, Magnum TA,
really great talent.
Tully Blanchard, I Quit match in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the greatest matches ever.
Yeah. Number 9. Akira Hokuto.
Is that a...
That's a chick.
Yeah.
She was one of the All Japan women.
Yeah.
I believe...
I've watched a few of those matches, but I know some Japanese women from that era, and I don't know her.
She went to WCW and fought Medusa.
Okay, they had a few that did that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I know a few of the ones that were...
They did. Those people?
A few... a few of the people from Japan who they brought over to face Medusa.
Now, for the people from Japan listening to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what Bruce Hart thinks of you.
Yes.
But,
yeah, it looks like she come in, she defeated Medusa to win the WCW Women's Champion in Starrcade 96.
Mm-hmm.
And then forced Medusa to retire by defeating her again at Great American Bash 97.
Okay. I mean, like I say, I'm sure she's one of the greats there, but when I think of the few names that I do know, she isn't one of them. There's some that are, yeah. Some that I know from that era, and she isn't one of them.
Yeah. So. Next to number 8.
I'm sure she's terrific, though. New Japan's women there is better wrestling than you see in ROH state today. And ROH can give you some great matches. So. The Midnight Express.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Not only the Midnight Express. This version right here, the version in this picture.
Yeah.
With these pants.
Yeah.
That's who...
With Bobby Eaton and Stan laying there. And what are those?
Zubaz. They have their t-shirts tucked into their Zubaz pants.
And Lane is wearing a belt as well on his Zubaz. Is he?
No, he just has like it's like a patch or something on the front, like probably a Velcro patch.
Well, Stanley was there as an announcer.
He was.
Bobby Eaton, of course, was never there at all.
He was a trainer, I guess.
I think a lot of people consider the Condry and Eaton group the premier team for the Midnight Express. But we did have the Midnight Express. Remember Bombastic Fart?
And Bodacious Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fuck you guys.
Fuck you. That was the new Midnight Express, though. Because you put new in front of a tag team name, it always works.
Every time. Remember the new originals?
The new originals, yes. The new breed. What else do we have? The new Demolition.
Foundation.
The new Blackjacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, but they were great. I mean, if I could have seen them versus, I mean, they were terrific. I think the best team from there is the Bulldogs. But if I could have had the Bulldogs versus them,
the Midnights, yeah.
And then versus, you know, who else it would have been great against? Well, the Rougeaus,
the Hearts, Killer Bees.
You know what? Killer Bees is actually the one I was thinking. It's like. Their style matchup would have made amazing matches.
That's true. So. That's true. Number 7.
One of my favorites.
The Sinister Minister. You know what? He could have been in the WWE if he had paid $1,500 to try out.
That's the story that he gives, yes. That he. The thing is, here's the thing. Unlike most of these guys, he could still go there and be great.
Yes, that's true. You saw him just on one of those TNA taped weekly pay-per-view things.
Yeah. Just a little while ago. Yeah, Sinister Minister, I mean, he was in ECW, I think is probably where his personality was best honed. But he was also in WCW, and he was in TNA. And he had a good long run in TNA, especially as Abyss's manager. And, yeah, I mean, just like I say, I mean, if they brought back managers, he's the guy to bring in. He wasn't one of the guys that they had come out as a joke for Tyson Kidd there when they were doing that little gimmick, weekly gimmick?
No, no. It was just Armando and Michael Hayes and Arn Anderson, I think, were the three.
Okay.
But, yeah, since Manu was Jim Mitchell, James Vandenberg in Blood Runs Cold with Mortis and Wrath and
Then
Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri, right?
Yeah. If he was to go to the WWE right now and you wanted to turn Kane heel and do it right, he's the guy to be with him.
No.
Now who?
Who does he manage?
Yeah.
They are the Ascension.
He'd be awesome with
them. They rise again. Yeah, and that's...
He would be awesome.
And now, as we talked about, Rick Victor... And Conor O'Brien,
about it earlier. That currently we could think of 8 tag teams in the WWE.
And we didn't count the Ascension.
Yeah, the Ascension would make 9 because I think they'll be up to the main roster fairly soon.
Yeah.
And that would make 7 of them heels. And I think they should turn Tons of Funk to make 8. He would be great with the Ascension because that's what they're missing, a mouthpiece.
I don't think you turn Tons of Funk yet. I think they're the Bushwhackers. Right?
For a little while, maybe. But maybe you don't, just because you don't have some. But, I mean, the Shield will turn soon.
The Shield will turn, are Primo and Epico heels?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we saw them.
So, maybe they...
2009.
Was one of them hurt?
I don't know.
What about... They're still... did they give up on Hunico and Camacho, I guess? I don't know what the deal is with that.
What's her name? Eve Tor... Or what's her name? The girl.
Rosa Mendez?
Yes.
I think she was in the ring when Paige won the NXT Divas title.
Okay. So...
I was like, hey, shit, there's Rosa.
There's Rosa. Yeah. So, okay.
But Primo and Epico maybe turn them face, right? With Rosa, again, that would be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, easy thing to do.
What was it that they were going to... Who did they... Oh, it was the Primetime Players they were doing that feud with Abraham Washington there.
Players or somebody else, I think you could turn babyface.
You could turn them babyface pretty easily, yeah.
Easily, yeah.
I would say, yeah, you're right.
You're right, you'd be awesome with the Ascension.
I don't think you could do... Kane
might be too established as an act already.
Well, Paul Bearer, you know?
Yeah.
So the Boogie...
But that is, he's like a more frightening Paul Bearer.
They suggest on here the Boogeyman being managed by...
How about Mantar?
Mantar, maybe, yes. 6. Nikita Koloff. Didn't we talk... We talked about this... Maybe it was off-air. That we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Did we?
About Nikita going. Nikita never went to WWF and could have and should have.
In about 1988, when he was still huge and powerful and tense and frightening.
Yeah.
Perfect heel foil for Mr. America.
Yeah, for Hogan, right? And in the summer... Of, you know, for his summer, angle and after Andre or something, right, in 87 there.
Yeah.
Because what did he fight in 87? He was like the one-man gang was the
exactly.
loop, right?
Exactly. First you beat Hacksaw, then you go on to Hogan.
I think you almost go straight to Hogan. And then you do Hacksaw
he,
after.
He was awesome enough as a... He's a Goldberg type, right?
Right.
But awesome enough that you could get him over in that era through squash match.
Yes, well, that's the whole thing is that he's tailor made for squash matches.
Yeah,
you know. So, but yeah, I mean, they could face off with Tito Santana.
Not where I would go.
No, not where I would go either.
Yeah, but he was pretty green. He never really. Became an excellent worker, but he was a right act and he's the right guy.
At the right time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Number 5.
And an awesome physical specimen.
Oh, right? Vampiro!
Vampiro! I think he was a really good act and really terrific in as like if he had come in as a really dangerous, scary heel to Undertaker at one point in time,
yeah,
he would have been before it all fell apart for him. It absolutely would have gotten over, I'm sure, really big. I think Vampiro had a lot of charisma and was well suited to the WWF.
Just a lot of drama followed Vampiro.
Always.
But even, you know, like in the WCW, because you thought of like with the WCW sale, that could have been a time where...
Yeah, I thought so.
You know, where Vampiro could have been the stalker, right?
And not DDP.
There
was a lot of times when in the WCW where it looked like he was going to get to a main event level, and something happened. He got hurt, or he pissed somebody off, or whatever.
It was usually that he pissed somebody off.
He got hurt a couple times, too, and that is too bad. He would have been... Him and Undertaker would have been a great feud in the day.
Him and Undertaker, and
definitely he would have gotten over to, he had the charisma and the type of act, would have gotten over in the Attitude Era, post Attitude Era for the WWF.
Yeah, like, put him with them in the, I mean, doesn't he have to feud with Undertaker at first? You know, does he go in the corporate ministry?
Maybe,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, at time... Depending on when he come in, right? I mean, if it's for the invasion, then as I said, I make him the stalker.
Yeah.
And that, you go there. Because then you got Kane you go to, you know, there's just, he's got potential.
Yeah, I agree with that one. That's a good one.
But let's see who they suggested he fight. Matchups against Kane, Gangrel, or Tajiri.
Yeah. None of those bad. Actually, Gangrel would have been interesting.
Yeah. After facing off...
The thing is about him is, I always thought, he comes in as a heel, and then after a little while, he becomes a very popular baby face.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And is he managed by Jim Ross?
All right, go on.
Number four!
Get the fuck out of
New
here.
Jack!
Okay, move on.
No, I want to see who they want him to fight. What? He could fight Maven and Goldust.
MTA? Are you fucking kidding me? He's out of the Midnight Express.
Okay.
Lick my balls.
Let's just listen to this. Even after ECW's shuttered operation, New Jack never arrived as either a WWE superstar as a Hollywood casting agent once predicted Denzel Washington's co-star.
Well, that guy's obviously not employed anymore. Okay, New Jack. Let's move on.
Okay. The Great Muta.
Absolutely.
And Great Muta, you see where Great Muta was today?
No.
He was in Nashville.
Really?
In the offices of Total Nonstop Action.
So what, we're going to look at a talent exchange between Japan and...
Yeah.
Or
was
is he going to be, or would they
Wrestle
put him in the Hall of Fame?
His Wrestle 1 promotion?
Yeah.
And...
Or let's just say he could go in the Hall of Fame, that's possible.
I don't know if they're going to do that. Or if they're just going to do, like, one a year.
Yeah.
One.
Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? I will say this. Great Muta against Randy Savage? Huge. It would have been a big thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bret Hart.
Yep.
You know, just there was a lot of potential for.
Yeah. Who do they say? Even a Tito Santana would have been fine, right?
Tito would have been good. Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Jeff Hardy, Edge.
Yep.
You know. Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, apparently Wrestle 1.
Definitely one of the greats who didn't come
WWF. Muta is trying to get some talent exchange Wrestle 1, so see if they can get some guys maybe to go for the X Division versus having some guys over.
Yeah, so why would he do it with a company that's going to be out of business?
I don't know, because he's in Japan and he's used to companies going out of business.
Good point.
Number 2.
Abdul the Butcher.
Abdullah the Hepatitis Butcher.
But Abdullah the Butcher against, Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino and these guys, sure, that would have worked. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Andre.
Gorilla.
Yep.
Lots of different guys. I mean, you just, they were better at putting cages up back then.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Who do they think he should face? As we go silent.
Monsoon, Bret Hart, Sammartino, Andre. Yeah.
We pretty much called it there.
Even during the hardcore title run?
Yeah.
Crash Holly and Abdullah?
Maybe.
All right, and number one, Sting, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Is that foreshadowing?
Maybe. Maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, I don't know. Well, I'm going to let the dog in here quick. What do you think of the list?
Actually, you know what? I usually am pretty, other than New Jack. Number one, New Jack even being on the list. But New Jack being ahead of some of those guys is just crazy. But other than that, this is actually one of the better lists I can remember seeing on WWE. Because they usually are so political. But this one has a lot of guys I agree with. They should have been there. It's a shame that Vampiro wasn't there. Shame that Abdullah wasn't there. It's a shame Sting wasn't there. It's a shame, you know, the Midnights and Magnum TA and like a lot of these guys. Muta. This is a really, really good list of people. I'm like, yeah, fuck, I always wish I had seen that guy.
But I guess to sum up, what you're saying is that you would like to New Jack off.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did there.
What'd you do there?
Huh? That's what I did.
Yeah, you did do that.
Okay. Next list. Nope.
Top 50 tag teams in WWE history?
Tag teams. I wanted villains. I was looking for villains. Where's the fucking villains?
I don't know. You're the one who found shit.
I clicked the fucking thing. Fucking villains. Fucking fuck. Yeah, see, it says villains.
I'm going to try it
again. And then it says, it says top 50 villains in WWE history. And then when you scroll over it, it says... The 50 greatest tag teams.
Well, just Google it. Top 50 villains in WWE history. Google it. It'll come up.
Okay.
Jesus. You overthink.
Call me
things.
Addy.
Hey, Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, you are. How do we entertain you while he's...
Sing.
Okay. Your mom. I came to bang your mom. Your mom, I came to bang your mom.
Found it.
Your mom.
Stop singing.
Your mom. we bang.
Oh, do we want to do that or do we want to do the most absurd superstars?
Oh boy, I want to do both.
Okay, here's a picture of Mantar. That's why.
All right, let's go to there first. Yeah, let's do that. We may have to do the other one another week.
25 most absurd superstars.
All right, we got to do it. You know we have to. Or we could save that for April Fool's Day, but Jesus, that's a long ways away.
Yeah.
And it's right here, right now.
It'll probably go to the tag teams again.
You already picked the picture for this show, but are you sure you don't want to go
with Mantar?
With Mantar?
I may go with Mantar. I'm not
that's such a great picture.
It is. All right, let's go to number 25.
All right, let's do it. Who are those guys who... the Red Rooster.
The Red Rooster.
Who were those guys, what was it? They were like the new Bushwhackers there. They were in ECW, and towards the end of WWE's run, they were Scottish or something. They were the killed.
Oh, the Highlanders.
All right, we'll see where the Highlanders fit. I'm going to guess number 13.
Yeah, that very well could be...
Between 13 and 11. I'll give myself a little window.
You think so?
Yeah.
Between 13 and 11.
Just outside the top 10.
Well,
is that the Red Rooster kicking Mr. Perfect in the face?
Yes.
Hmm. Oh.
That's a slot machine in Vegas.
Called the Red Rooster?
We call the Red Rooster, so I take a picture of it.
And that's our show picture.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Okay. And what is
Dennis
that?
Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. I thought it was New Jack.
I know. I was hoping.
Another former guest on the show, though.
Dennis Rodman?
Dennis Rodman.
Yes. Okay, let's see who number 24 is. Outback Jack.
Another former guest on the show.
That's true.
He fucking killed Bin Laden, remember?
He fucking killed Osama Bin Laden, mate. Number 23. The Mountie. Fuck off. I love
that. We gotta get back to our guests on. The Mountie? Yeah, well, it was pretty ridiculous.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
He always gets his man. Or when they were the Quebecers and they were not the Mounties. I love the Legals. Anyway, 22. Jacques Rougeau, the Mountie. Number 22. Techno Team 2000.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Travis and
there
Troy.
For, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, they're the summer of, what, 95?
Yeah.
96.
Yeah, Travis and Troy. I thought one of them was Watts' son.
It is. Troy.
Is it?
It was Eric Watts, and Chad Fortune was Travis.
I don't remember the... I don't remember the eye makeup.
I don't either, but...
That's extra stupid.
It really, it is.
Yeah.
They were the team, yes, and meant to grab the attention of a disenfranchised Generation X.
Yeah. It wasn't in, like, 1990?
What?
Tecmo 2000 was around?
96.
Oh, was it that late?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so they were T.L. Hopper and the Goon right. and shit. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right,
let's go to number 21. Probably is T.L. Hopper.
Oh, he's on the list.
He's
like top five.
That's true. T.L. Hopper, number 21.
That's fucking funny.
And he's giving an elbow drop to a bushwhacker.
Oh, the bushwhackers better make
Oh, here we go. I love this. Hopper did score one major win when he beat Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
I thought they said he scored one major win.
I know. That match was built up for like a couple weeks on Superstars because the biggest show on television at the time was Home Improvement. So that was dubbed the Home Improvement match.
I remember that now.
Oh,
yeah.
God. That was when
I thought Drosy won that, but you know.
That was when Superstars was on, like, it used to be like a Saturday morning deal, Saturday afternoon thing, and then by like 96, it was like on at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you had to tape it back when you could tape stuff. Number 20. Saba Simba!
Yeah.
There's your picture.
Fucking stupid. Well, we'll probably have a few that can compete.
That's true. Tony Atlas. Saba Simba as what did he? I don't even remember what
this guy told CM Punk how to do things right.
Yes,
that's unbelievable.
Well, I love this. These are great write-ups, by the way. Who wrote these? Fucking
Joey Styles.
Thankfully, Saba Simba disappeared from WWE, and Tony Atlas reemerged in WCW to do what he does best.
Steroids?
Apparently, knee pads.
Alright, Saba Simba.
Fuck. Do you remember what the gimmick was? Like, did he even talk? Or he was like, come from...
He didn't talk, no.
He just went to Africa and come back
He came out and he danced to his music and then beat people up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
Badly.
And they never acknowledged that he was Tony Atlas, no.
No, I didn't think so. No, it wasn't even like Tony... You know they used to, like, in the opening vignettes, say Tony Atlas went here and come back?
Yeah.
Oh, Santa Claus is number 19.
Oh, yeah.
Balls Mahoney.
He didn't have that many appearances, though, did he?
Two.
Oh, that many, huh?
He was supposed to come back as, like, the evil Easter Bunny. But they dropped it by then. That was the gimmick with every holiday.
It's funny to see him there.
Yeah.
When he doesn't look so Balls Mahoney-ish. And especially since last time we did see him, Barbed Wire City, he was such a fucking mess.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He looks.
And there he looks a little like Bobby Roode.
Yeah. And he's a bit bigger, but he looks like. Yeah. He looks like a viable wrestler.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
You know? Not Balls Mahoney.
Balls Mahoney was even a viable wrestler for a while, but the gimmick was out of control from the beginning.
Yeah. But, alright. That was number 19. Number 18, The Goon.
Yeah, awful.
I think everybody knows about The Goon. Bill Irwin, hockey player, wrestler, blah, blah, blah.
Gimmick, yeah, awful.
Best thing he had were his boots that looked like skates.
Well, there was that, but the other thing was that how he would do the hockey fight punch thing.
Yeah.
You know, pull somebody's sweat over their head. And, yeah, that was kind of funny. But honestly, there's no upside to something like that.
No.
It's stupid.
No. Number 17.
A lot of these are falling in the same era, aren't they?
They are. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The 95 era.
Big Bully Busick.
Speaking of which.
Well, no, this is a few years earlier.
Okay. But it's still in that area where post-Hogan, where they're before the Attitude Era, where they're struggling.
Yeah, I think, was this post-Hogan or is this 92?
I consider that post-Hogan.
Okay, well, it's Hogan, yeah. But anyway, the thing was, is Big Bully Busick was, like, a wrestler in, like, the 50s. Apparently, Bully Busick's biggest rivalry was against the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, I believe that.
Wow.
Yeah. But when you really look at him like that there, he doesn't look like somebody with a bad look to you, you know?
No, he doesn't look nearly as old as he was.
Yeah, really.
Like, he was very old at this point. Yeah. I think he was, like, in his, like, late 40s at this point.
Yeah. Remember, he would also come out to the ring. Didn't he have a bunch of interactions with a girl at the ringside who, in reality, was Heenan's
daughter? Yeah, like, yeah. Popped her balloon and, was bullied her. And Harvey Whippleman was the manager.
Yeah. Well, there's your bad gimmick right there, Harvey Whippleman.
Yeah. Hermina? Nails!
Oh, yes. Awful.
Was it?
Yes.
I don't think Nails was necessarily a bad gimmick in that, like, when you think
maybe
about it.
Maybe it's just that the guy was so bad.
Well, that may be it, but you think of, like, the convict coming back to get revenge on the big boss man is a decent idea, but then where do you go from there?
Well, yeah, where do you go from there? Weren't they going from there for a little while with Undertaker and they got fired?
Yeah, the cover of the January 1993 WWF, or January 94, I think it was, WWF magazine, was Taker and Nails.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I know, it's, even then, I mean, I think Dick's a little bit of a stretch, but his promos where he would just yell at the camera, he sounded retarded, he'd have spit flying out of his mouth.
But he always had that, even when he was in AWA.
Yeah.
And he played, like, a Marvelous character or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
it still sucks.
Mr. Marvelous or something is his name? Kevin Kelly?
Yeah, Kevin Kelly.
15? The Spirit Squad.
Okay, move on.
We all know about the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing else to say. I like the Spirit Squad as a gimmick.
14, Bastion Booger.
Yeah, that was a shitty gimmick.
Long before Ryback. What?
Oh, Feed Me More thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ryback and Bastion Booger. No. Lucky number 13, The Stalker. Yes, this was awful. Barry Windham.
Yeah, Barry Windham, yeah. Yeah, basically he played a character, what would you call him?
Like a hunter.
Yeah, like a hunter. Like almost like a bounty hunter.
Like a bounty hunter. Yeah, but the thing was, he wasn't really like the Stalker was meant to be kind of like a bounty hunter, but then
he was dressed in like the
camouflage.
Yeah, and you could almost see him as being almost more one of those like one of the guys, one of the compounds with the gun and everything.
Yeah. Well, like a poacher almost.
Yeah, and then the big thing is the makeup.
Yeah.
Barry Windham was above a gimmick this stupid was the thing.
But, yeah, this is also, again, 1996.
Good point.
So, Barry Windham, long past his prime. I should say long past his prime, but past his prime. He was past
a
couple years past his prime. I think it was 94 when it was him and Flair.
Yeah.
For the big gold belt there.
Yeah.
So...
I think he debuted in 84 or something like that.
I liked, I liked this at first, before they did the paint and the camouflage.
Back when it was just the vignettes?
When it was the vignette, they eventually added the vignettes, but the paint to the early vignettes. But when he was the early ones when he was just sitting in a tree, he was a stalker. This was kind of like the Widowmaker was basically a bounty hunter, right?
Yeah.
You know,
but the Widowmaker had a cool look. Leather jacket, a little bit of facial hair, you know.
Yeah, but
eyebrow shadow, a ponytail when you didn't see them often. Tall,
yeah.
Black boots, black.
I argue you
back
could
love, you know, before way before Steve Austin, like it was.
I think you could have kept that lone wolf Barry Windham, which would be because kind of the evolution of it there with this, but they didn't, and you know, yeah, it's awful. Hard to believe that Barry Windham was Chainsaw Charlie, but before we get Chainsaw Charlie...
Bullshit.
It's hard to believe...
Fuck you, I love Chainsaw Charlie.
It's hard to believe that Barry Windham was actually employed with WWF for as long as he was, when you think of...
Because he was that, and then
the
he was
Stalker, then he was the New Black
New
Jack,
Blackjack,
for
yeah.
a year, and then he was the NWA
yeah.
champion guy. No, so he had about a three, four-year run.
He did a pretty good one, longer than you would think, that's for sure.
Well, longer than you kind of remember it, is all. I don't know if it was good, but I know it wasn't, but it was, you know, he would have made some money, at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Chainsaw Charlie said Terry Funk.
But I can't think of, was he ever on any pay-per-view matches other than as the New Blackjacks, maybe the occasional NWA one?
Well, the New Blackjacks, yeah, that, think of, In Your House, Canadian Stampede, the New Blackjacks. He was in Rocky Maivia's debut match. As a Survivor Series there.
But not a lot of, though. For that
no,
period, he didn't really have a lot of...
No, he wasn't featured.
No. Yeah, I love me Terry Funk as Chainsaw Charlie, but...
Well, the thing is, I mean...
It's just, here's the thing. Terry Funk is a bigger name than Chainsaw Charlie, so it's stupid to give Terry Funk a gimmick.
Yeah.
Then again, it was his idea.
Yes, that's true.
So, that's the way I look at it.
Because he wanted another personality like Foley did,
yeah.
Right? That was it. That was the gimmick. But, I mean, and the thing, though, is then he would be cutting promos and he wouldn't be wearing his mask.
Yeah.
I mean, it's things that they would just never do today.
No.
Oh, manic. Number 11.
Mystery Man.
That's Furface.
Oh. But he's called Mystery Man, not Furface. Jesus Christ, he was on a lot of steroids, wasn't he, Daryl Blue?
Oh, yeah, look at that,
oh,
eh?
Lord.
When was that? That was 90...
91? 91?
I think so.
Yeah.
What good is a mystery if no one wants to solve it?
Yeah.
This was the conundrum. After he appointed himself WWE's Avenging Angel in 91.
Okay.
Saving helpless local competitors from getting creamed by Earthquake and Dino Bravo. We can watch Mystery Man attack Earthquake. I don't know if that'll fuck up our audio, though, so we won't.
No, we won't do it. And who cares?
But the universe never learned his name or true identity. Who is that masked man? We'll give you a hint. It was Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Well, that's hardly a hint.
All right, yeah. So who was it, though? Who was paired up for that?
Yeah.
I think it was the Booty Man.
The Berserker, number 10.
I want to making fuck Berserker.
Did you just say making fuck?
I love Clark. The first one,
yeah. Berserker, he was also known as the Viking for a little while.
Yeah.
John Nord.
Another guy with a feud with the Taker that never really happened.
No, that's right. I mean, that was a guy that he would kind of go away, and then you would start to see him again in November and December to hype up the Royal Rumble, because his gimmick was that he'd throw people over the top rope and win by countout.
Oh, that's right, he was doing that, yeah.
So...
Well, yeah, again, this is a John Norton being around for a long time. The thing is, when he comes out, but he had already been doing this for a long time, he was doing
Bruiser Brody.
He was ripping off one of the all-time greats and a great original act.
Yeah.
And he was never... He was big and all, but just Brody had a charisma and a intensity and a real-life scariness about him and power and... athlete, like a tremendous athlete, like he wasn't the package that Brody was.
No.
So, I mean, he always just came across like a cheap rip-off.
Well, and he was the Yukon Lumberjacks, right? It was him and, yeah, Huss.
Yeah.
Yukon Lumberjacks was him and Scott Norton.
Scott Norton back in the day,
and AWA. And then come, the Viking and then the Berserker, managed by Mr. Fuji.
Yeah.
The devious one. Number 9, Battle Cat!
I love Mr. Fuji.
There's Battle Cat!
I still don't remember him seeing that.
Does he look
really?
It looks like Buff Bagwell there, actually, in a mask. But,
I'm sure it isn't.
No.
See if there's a pants have a hole in them.
Brady Boone. 1990. There you go. Brady Boone.
All right. So, I just don't even remember that. But that may have been... It's like, you know how when you have a traumatic experience?
Yeah, as soon as you block it out.
Yeah, that may have been what that is.
That's probably true. Making his comeback. At Battleground.
You know what? Him and Sin Cara. I see a lot of similarities there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they both do flippy dudes.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Charge $50 for that mask, too.
Probably.
Repo Man. Yeah. Actually, look at all the gimmicks in that ring that are a bit ridiculous, honestly. Big Boss Man. You got
Barbarian
there. And who's that? That's
Bulldog,
right?
Bulldog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Repo Man. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Still the Repo Man.
Yeah.
But his vignettes were entertaining.
Oh, yeah. His vignettes were funny. And, but, yeah, he's just dumb.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand why. I never understood the gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, why, what, did Vince have something repossessed one time and he hates the Repo Man? Is that...
Vince did have something repossessed, the water cooler.
There you go, yeah. See?
There you go.
And Barry Darso has it in his apartment still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number 7.
Good thing he'd gone to become a golfer instead.
It's true.
I think yanked him DDS.
DDS.
It's weird to look at Kane there.
I know, right? And you could tell it's Kane there.
You can still tell it's Kane.
Look at Vampiro.
Destroyed everything.
Vampiro's in the audience.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, yeah. I never understood that. Jerry Lawler got his foot stuffed down his throat. Mm-hmm. So he needed a dentist.
Mm-hmm. So he went to his dentist, and his dentist said, "How dare somebody do that to you? Let me beat him up." And it just so happened that his dentist was a 6'10" psychopath.
Named Isaac Yankum.
DDS.
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 And yeah, they did. Yeah, a self high five.
Brutally shitty. Self high five?
Self high five.
Yeah.
And he debuted at SummerSlam. Yeah. 96 against Bret Hart.
And didn't they have wasn't it a double count out or something like that? It wasn't even a finish.
I thought Bret
won by count out.
By count out or something. Yeah.
And then Bret ended up beating him clean like a month later.
Then they had a cage, remember?
Yeah, cage match. With that's right, Lawler hanging overhead.
Yeah.
And that was it. And he was gone until he came back as the fake Diesel.
Yeah. Which was literally.
And the other thing is, though, when you do see him in that match against Bret Hart, he does a couple high flying moves. And he's so skinny. Like, he really was a tall, skinny guy at the time. He wasn't yet what he would become. When he was Diesel and Kane, when he first showed up there, he literally was one of the strongest men in WWE. I mean, we're talking about a legit 600-pound bench press dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was very, very thin. What was he called again? Unabomber in the...
With Al Snow. He was a tag team. Al Snow and Unabomber in Smoky Mountain.
That's right. Yeah.
But this was 95, not 96, sorry. It's 96. 96, September, just after SummerSlam, 96. After the In Your House 96 is when the Diesel and Razor thing happened. So, number 6. Eventually.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Number 6 is Friar Ferguson.
Oh, I fucking
Mike Shaw makes the list twice. Bastion Booger and now Friar Ferguson.
Yeah, he was both of them. I thought he was also Friar Ferguson.
This did not last as long. This was before.
Mantar didn't last long. This didn't even last as long as that. Basically.
Well, he was a Mantar.
Yeah. But Friar Ferguson,
Kane was Mantar.
What?
Kane was Mantar. Bruiser Mastino.
Different guy. Anyways, Friar Ferguson, basically think to yourself Robin Hood and his Merry Men, the Friar. He was a babyface, though, right?
He was a babyface. This was like 93.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, the Friar, the fat Friar that you would see in the Robin Hood and cartoons and shit like that. That's what he was.
This is right after WrestleMania 9. It's like he debuted on the Raw after WrestleMania 9, or just after. Yeah, this was awful, and he'd smile.
No wonder they weren't drawing. No wonder WrestleMania 10 was in front of 4,000 people at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, 9. I was at the Coliseum in Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, was it old 9?
I don't know, I didn't get to go in. It's indoors now.
They said 9.
Yeah, I don't think it's
tapered,
old 9.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Number 5.
The fake
Razor and Diesel. So there you go.
True life, a gentleman who lives in this city, is from this city, Scott Bogner.
Rick Bogner.
Rick Bogner. Scott Hall, Rick Bogner, playing the fake Razor Ramon. We both had a few run-ins with him, and I think we can both say without a shadow of a doubt, complete total douchebag.
Yeah, douche or no douche, he's a douche.
He's a douche.
Yeah.
Whereas you've been an asshole, not for this year, he's never been an asshole for not one second. Fucking loser.
Yes.
In fact, I could tell some stories, but I won't. But just a scumbag.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he flamed out.
Mm-hmm. Literally, because I think he likes men, right?
I don't know. I saw his girlfriend. She looked like a piece of beef jerky up front. She might have once been a man.
Mm.
He was a stripper, of course.
Right. He needed a little excitement. Well, that was a slim Jim.
Snap into it.
Yeah. Max Moon, number 4.
Yeah, Paul Diamond.
Conan.
Paul Diamond.
fuck.
Either way, look at that outfit. That's the shit.
Yes, it is. And he shot the fireworks out of his gimmick there.
Yeah. And but not only It's not only the outfits, the shits. When you really look at those fake dreadlocks in different colors,
mm-hmm.
that just adds into it.
Yeah, the whole thing was stupid.
Yeah, the shits.
Number three. Mantar!
Oh, Bruiser Messina.
Mm.
Oh, okay. For those of you who may not have listened to our, because we have talked about him while drinking and on an April Fool's show, and Lord knows you should be drinking if you're going to talk about him. From beginning to end, go through this fucking gimmick. And yes, you got to use that picture. I mean, look at it. That or another one with Mantar.
Yeah. The thing is with
Mantar. You
don't
top that. How's it only number three? Don't you top this?
I know. I'm wondering.
Anxious to see.
I am now anxious to see. But the thing is, like, from top to bottom, his character evolved. Because he didn't have the horns painted on him at first.
No.
He just came out like a guy. So that was the best when he debuted.
Paper mache horns.
No. He had this cow head on him. And his ring music was a bunch of mooing.
Yep.
And he had a really good look. He was short and stocky. Like, he had a good, decent look. And he could run. Like, he... When he had to do, like, splashes or whatever. Like, I thought he was a decent enough worker had he not been, you know, for what he was.
For what he was.
But they have a cow head. They put a cow head on him. And not, like, a little cow head. Like, this massive cow head. Like, he looked
and it
like...
It's not a real cow head, though.
Those furry aliens that walked around in Doctor Who in the original series.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And... He was managed by Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Which was the
best. Who was also at the time managing who? Like,
Vader and Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Brett Owen and Davey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then 95 he gets stuck with this fucker. 96, 95, 96?
I want to say 95.
Yeah. It is just such a bad.
Oh, it's awful.
Everything about it. And didn't his promos, he also mooed?
Yeah, that's all he did.
Yeah, while Cornette would talk.
The best, though, is then eventually they painted these horns on his head.
Yeah.
But before that, he takes the thing off, and he's just a fat guy.
Yes.
Just a fat guy.
Just a fat guy who apparently liked to wear a cow head.
A cow head. Well, why not, right?
Yeah. He was not. He is not one of the famed members of Lord Water Buffalo, or whatever that. The Flintstones, one of those guys.
Oh,
those guys. Now, that was a good...
Yes.
Good buffalo.
Yeah, the mighty water buffalo or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares? Number two.
The royal water buffalo.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We're talking about your mom.
Number two. The gobbledygooker.
You know what? I think I would actually go Mantar even worse. But this is the shits.
Did the gooker ever...
It's almost too... Did he ever have a match?
Did the gooker have a match? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, we saw him do his... moves, which are sort of wrestling moves.
Well,
but did he have a match? I don't
know. I've never
know.
Seen the gooker
the thing
have
is,
a
unfortunately,
match.
Just putting the gooker here is almost one of those things where it's like, it's just being done to death.
Well, do you put, is Doink number one then?
Oh, Doink's not on the list, you're right. No, the Highlanders. We're still waiting for them.
Right, we are still waiting for the Highlanders. You have so many others.
Others. Well, the thing is, you could do another list easily, 25 more from WWE, and then you could do a 50 from
WCW. Yeah.
You could do another 30 or 40 from TNA if you wanted.
Gooker, number one.
Black Rain would be on that one.
Oh, Fantasio.
Yeah, Fantasio was just shit.
He was.
Again, just explain this one. You have talked about it also, and I. But explain this one.
We're
not saying. Now, first off, you pronounce his name how?
Fantasio. But he was a magician wrestler.
That was the gimmick.
In like 96. And he would give wrestlers wedgies.
Yeah.
He'd take their underwear from there.
Yeah.
And he'd pull like a handkerchief out of his mouth. And
so fucking bad.
His debut match was against Tony DeVito, who would later go on to be one of the Baldies.
Really?
In ECW. Yes.
Who was he? Was he anybody?
I don't know, you know?
I'm sure he has a Fandango?
Could be.
Hmm.
But that was, that's...
That's the list. That's
and that's
good.
Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to go through all of it.
Okay, so how long is the show out here?
About an hour and a half.
All right, I think that's probably good for the show then.
I think so. Do we have anything else that we need to?
I had a Twitter question.
Why don't we do a Twitter question? I don't want to end on Fantasio.
Well, we'll do the Twitter question.
Okay.
From we got this probably from Japan. It looks like here.
Oh,
those people there. One of those people.
Those
people there emailed.
I hear the Arsenio Hall show is coming back. By the way.
Oh yeah.
He's coming back on like I don't know what channel. Anyway,
I heard that too.
Those people over there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is from Sum Ting Wong.
Okay.
Sum Ting Wong emailed us.
Okay.
So he wanted to know our memories.
He's been following TNA's business.
Yeah. Sum Ting Wong. Oh, I never realized what that. Oh, it's probably a fake name now. I'm starting to think.
Sum Ting Wong at hotmail.com. So, I don't know.
Anyways, I don't think that's not it.
Okay, what's the question?
I don't want people spamming whoever has something.
I do.
But anyway, something has asked us with memories of Saturday night's main event.
So it's a good thing you asked this question because, yes, we can end on Saturday night's main event and not Fantasia. My favorite memory of Saturday night's main event was when Fantasia was on. No. there's just so many. I'll tell you my first memory of Saturday night's main event. My first big memory is Andre the Giant headbutting Leaping Lanny Poffo in a battle royal that pushed him over the top rope. Poffo was just, no, not to win. Hercules won the battle royal.
Oh, did he?
But just bloodied him, and he had to be carried on in a stretcher. And it was like one of those old school cloth rollout stretchers that they rolled out, and Poffo was being carried out on the stretcher.
I'm going to watch
it
tonight.
I know, it's awesome. It's awesome. And yeah, like, but in that battle royal, you had, like, Paul Orndorff and King Kong Bundy and Hogan and Andre and Hercules and Billy Jack.
Andre won all the battle royals he was in.
No, they ganged up. They did the gang up on him.
Oh, did they?
And you know, eight guys took him out.
I remember him winning one, said I'm up against Hogan at WrestleMania 3, where he threw Hogan out.
He threw Hogan out, but he didn't win that one. He threw Hogan out in that one, and
okay.
This is that one. Set up to WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
And but Hercules won that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my earliest memories are just simply, just to give a little background, we had Stampede Wrestling here for a long, long time. Stampede Wrestling would give us, you know, these great matches, great wrestling matches, and some really hardcore kind of, felt realistic angles at the time.
Yeah.
Within what they
like
were
doing, a Memphis,
right?
Like an ECW type, more of a feel that way,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, then when they shut down, WWF obviously replaced them, and eventually they would come back, and both would be running simultaneously. But after a while, you're just watching the WWF, and you got used to just the squash matches, and never seeing two guys who were upper mid-card guys going at it. You just, if you were to see it, it's only because you rented it at one of those
Best of the WWF volume.
And even then, you were seeing a feud from 2-3 years ago.
Right.
So when I first turn it on, I see Jake Roberts versus Ricky Steamboat. When I see a newly babyface turn, Roddy Piper taking on an Iron Sheik and being run in, having Adrian Adonis run in.
Yeah.
When I see Orndorff and Hogan and
in the cage match. That was another one they talked about.
You just didn't see it.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult if you're a modern wrestling fan to get over how significant these memories are and these matches were because now you see Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton five times in 3 weeks on TV.
Talk about pay-per-view quality, and now...
You would really look forward to it. It would happen like every 6 weeks.
Play a Clash of the Champions.
Yeah,
and it was just really, that's
my memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it's a nostalgia thing, but when you look back at it, it's like, man, I just remember when wrestling made me anxious to see that event.
The DDT.
And now even something like I'm interested in SummerSlam, but I'm not anxious because it's even though I don't know what's going to happen with the Beast versus the Best. It's not that same thing as, fuck, I never get to see this.
Well, the one reason that Lesnar is a draw is that I know I'm not going to see him on Raw, wrestling on Raw for the next 3 weeks, right?
Yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
So it's same with Taker, right?
Yeah.
So go see Taker, because I'm going to get to see Taker once a year.
Yeah.
You know, and so that, that's where those draws come in.
Yeah, exactly.
Hunter not so much, but other people, you know,
yeah.
Brock and Undertaker. But
well, even Hunter to a degree.
But talk about that Jake and Steamboat, of course. That was the DDT on the concrete.
Well, this was the rematch, was the first one I saw.
Right.
The DDT on the concrete, of course, was an angle. You saw the angles.
Yeah.
But this was the rematch when Steamboat came out and in order to combat the snake,
the
he brings out his Komodo dragon. And it was just so great.
Yeah.
And like I say, you didn't see crowds this hot. You didn't see action this good.
I think that was Richie, wasn't it?
Crowds this what?
The Komodo dragon?
No.
Oh.
No. So, yeah, that's my earliest memories. As far as matches, of course, that Jake Roberts and Steamboat won. The Hogan, again, the Hogan-Orndorff,
yeah.
The cage match that appeared to be a draw on you, were questioning who won, and this was after they'd already been feuding for a long time. I think this might have been... This was the blow-off. Yeah, this was because after the big event in Toronto.
This was in 97.
They draw 67,000 or whatever.
January 97, because this led... Because then he went to Andre.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was... Like, again, it was... It felt epic. Like, the world title is on the line, and then you had this angle you didn't see coming.
And Jesse Ventura...
You didn't see often.
Did such
Jesse
a great
Ventura
job.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
And... So these memories are, it's more the moments and the significance than the quality of matches. Though then you would also have the Bret Hart versus Randy Savage,
yeah.
Right? But even then, as great as that match is, the memory of the post-match angle with the Honky Tonk Man and pushing down Elizabeth is
yeah.
probably even stronger.
Smashing the guitar.
And that's what it is. It was
the
funny.
The mega powers.
It was... You would get the characters developed on Superstars or Maple Leaf Wrestling here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling Challenge also.
Yeah, Wrestling Challenge, yeah. Cavalcade.
So you get the characters developed, and a few angles would be shot. Then you would have the better matches, but even these were set up to further the big angles. So these were where the bigger angles even got furthered and furthered, setting you up for those few pay-per-views you would see a year. So everything was a progression. Like this, like Superstars had a purpose.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a Wrestling Challenge had a purpose. And it was pretty good. And it had a purpose.
There was
some throwaway shit, but it had a purpose. And Saturday Night's Main Event was really good, but had a purpose. And then the pay-per-view was the ultimate purpose.
Yeah.
The ultimate
end. But it had...
So everything built, and everything had its own place and was more important than the other.
Saturday Night's Main Event had a big fight feel to it as
for
well.
Sure.
You just think of like the beginning with the boom, 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 boom music, and they're like, tonight on Saturday Night's Main Event, and the Ultimate Warrior takes on Haku,
and then they would
both cut probably be like, Ultimate, and then you get Bobby Heenan, Ultimate Warrior, blah, 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 and then you get the Warriors nonsense and go blah, 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 and just through city shit. But you'd have those promos to open as well, and
well,
then you'd go
the
into
is,
it.
Is, and you didn't know exactly what matches you were going to get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you got Harley Race versus Hogan or Hogan versus, or, you know, Ricky Steamboat versus Hercules or whatever you're getting. It was, you were excited because it's like, oh, shit, I don't see that all the time, and I didn't know that's what was coming. That's cool. Another thing that was very big was how they would open with the main event.
I was about to say, yeah, because you get... Because of the how late it was, it took the Saturday Night Live time slot. They'd open big, and you'd go. So like you'd really the last match, not the main event, but the last match would say be like the Young Stallions against the Islanders,
yeah.
You know, or something.
Yeah.
Where the opener, you know, would be the WWF title match
yeah.
or what have you. Right? But I mean, there's so many. I mean, the superplex Hogan did on the Big Boss Man. You think of, I think yesterday on the WWE app, actually, they interviewed Arn Anderson because the Brainbusters won the
right,
Demolition.
Yeah.
Now, that was in May, I believe. It was a Memorial Day weekend in the States, so Saturday Night's Main Event.
It was the best
but,
2 out of 3 tag team title match between the Art Foundation and the Bulldogs.
And the Bulldogs.
It was great.
And you know, just some of the stuff some of those big... Main event.
Yeah.
I mean, that was.
I mean, you're gonna see Hulk Hogan versus Bad News Brown.
Yeah.
You're only gonna see it there, right?
Yeah, that's right. This was it. It was because they didn't have a pay per view every month.
Yeah.
So this is kind of they would do it almost like you said they would have, but they were probably if there were eight of those or seven or six of them maybe if there were
I think
six,
it's every 6 weeks, but only during the partially during the one season, right? During the
right.
television season. So I mean, it wasn't even a year-round.
You'd have one in January. You'd have one in May. You know, you'd have, because you'd have the main event
yeah.
in February as well, which is different than Saturday night's main event. Yeah. It was just, you know,
an hour on prime time.
On prime time, where they only had,
network.
What, they, how many of those?
Unlike the last couple of times they did Saturday night's main event, it was a 2-hour show on
yeah.
Saturday night on prime time.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter anymore because you've seen everything.
It was done, yeah. You say it didn't, it wasn't, it just, there was nothing they could do to make it special.
Yeah, and you're right. It was their version of Clash of the Champions, except for Clash of the Champions was a little more wrestling-heavy, and they were a little more angle-heavy.
Yeah.
Was the difference.
That's right, because it was always, I mean, you think of, like, Jake the Snake and Andre the Giant, where Andre's afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
You know, that happened there.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the other thing, though, is that they would open up with that match, and there's a shitload of commercials on at that time of night.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, of that hour and a half, I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's an hour that's actually wrestling. Whereas, you know, the Clash of the Champions was, they weren't as heavy on commercials. They didn't run as many.
That's right.
Which allows for the flow of matches.
Didn't have as many advertisers.
Yeah, well, that's probably
But, yeah, think of...
There were some big ratings in this day, too. Some people talk about some Clash of the Champions.
Some Clash memories,
sure.
too, yeah.
There's a good DVD out there we never did watch, so...
I saw some of it, yeah.
But there's also a DVD of Saturday Night's main event, and I would love to watch that.
And it had one of the best promos of all time.
Which one?
From George the Animal Steel.
Oh, yes, it did. That's where you saw Steel against. That's where before, you know, the WrestleMania 3 match between
Two.
Steamboat, WrestleMania 3 match between Steamboat and
Savage.
The last match Savage
yes.
had, where Steamboat runs in and returns,
yes.
is against him against George Steele.
Steele, right? That's that blow off.
Yeah, exactly.
And think of that went on a year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and that was that blow off, and you had the Orndorff blow off there. I mean,
and again, it's also, I mean, they would you know tape these things, you know, a few weeks ahead of time, but no internet, right? So.
Right. Well, yeah.
The only way you would get it would be through, you know, if you were getting one of the few dirt sheets, you could do that. More likely, you could get the results through a PWI magazine, an After magazine, but those were printed so much after that
exactly.
you wouldn't be able to bear, so it actually worked out fine.
Well, and you even think, I mean, what would it even have been now, that cage match tape that, the Orndorff-Hogan tape that in advance? Because, like, Orndorff landed a lot. Lot before Hogan, like
yeah.
visibly before Hogan of those in the arena.
Yeah,
and
but
then,
it didn't matter.
But it didn't matter because it wasn't going to air for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
And they did the split screen, and you could edit it, and Kevin Dunn did a great job of making it seem like both the time, right?
Know,
so,
yeah, it was, and it was the right angle. It was great in a lot of ways. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, it was perfect, and nobody knew any different.
And
other
at
than
the
that,
end, I mean, they restart the match. Hogan gets in there, wins it clean this time, and then gets his hands on Bobby Heenan.
I'm pretty sure...
remember he beat up
yeah
Hina.
Oh yeah yeah and that Hina got the neck brace and that
yeah.
got him to make the deal with Andre
exactly
but I
everything had a reason
yeah yeah exactly
yeah.
but I think that
this is where wasn't it also this Saturday Night's main event I believe that's where Hogan gets squashed by King Kong Bundy and,
yeah well, he was fighting Don Morocco
yeah.
and Morocco holds
yeah.
him in there and yeah and that's where he gets
yeah.
his ribs broken but I remember him fighting Bundy in the blow-off to that again on a Saturday Night's Main Event,
right.
leading to Hogan and Andre.
Yeah.
Or I think this was the rematch. I think this was the WrestleMania 4 build,
yeah. Yeah.
where Hogan, and he headbutts him, you know, over and over and over again. But, yeah, just, I mean, it was important.
Yeah.
And it was a main. It was destination television.
Oh hell yeah!
And because you knew something was going to happen.
Well, that's it. Every single time there was a Saturday Night's main event, a significant angle happened.
Yeah. Until
you know, you didn't always get the great matches. You always got the great, like I say, classic champions. You knew you were going to get always at least one great match, maybe an angle.
When did it end?
For sure, you're getting an angle, even if not a great match.
When do you think it ended?
I would say probably about 91.
Yeah, I'm just...
When did Raw first hit the air again?
93, January 93.
I'd say about 91 if I was to guess.
I'm just thinking, because I remember when...
Because then they went to USA Network and were doing a show featuring, even before Raw, they were doing a show featuring more main event type matches and that type of thing.
Well, they had Primetime.
Primetime,
but
yeah.
Primetime had been around since 1986.
I guess you're right, it had been, yeah.
But I just...
I thought they had introduced another new one, though.
Oh, they had, like, All-American and stuff. Those are just different superstars type things. But I think, yeah, I'm trying to think, when did Sid turn heel on Hogan and Beefcake, right? And that was on a
WrestleMania 8.
That was the Saturday Night's main event leading to that, though.
Yeah.
And they had, you know,
so that would have been WrestleMania 8 was 92.
92, so I'm thinking, yeah. So
yeah.
They had one when it went to Fox, at least one when it went to
That's
Fox, because
right.
Shawn Michaels beat the British Bulldog to win the Intercontinental
title.
I
thought that was actually a main event, not a Saturday Night's main event.
No, it was Saturday Night's main event on Fox, yeah.
Okay. But it was more like a main event prime time, wasn't it?
I think that one wasn't late night anymore. But it was not on NBC. They'd moved it to the Fox network.
Okay.
And when Fox was like in its infancy, before they'd gotten NFL even.
Yeah.
So... and of course, then they brought it back, and you know, really wasn't anything because it was just another Raw,
yeah.
You know, at that point. But
well, that's it exactly. It was Cena versus Edge for the 57th time.
They may have had because again, we didn't get the Fox Network until in Canada until they got the NFL.
That's true.
That's when we got it. But it was. So we didn't even see that that Saturday Night's main event with Shawn and Davey Boy.
No, we saw it on Maple Leaf Wrestling.
But I want to say that was maybe the last one before it came
sense,
back,
yeah.
Right? There might have been one more, but I don't know. Not Bret Hart against Papa Shango was the other match on on that one. But, good memories, though.
Yeah, good memories. It is, because it made you think of when wrestling really mattered.
And some of them, they would do stupid shit. Like, remember... Gene Okerlund and Lord Alfred Hayes going through the jungle.
Yeah, they would do skits and whatever.
They would do, the Wild Kingdom shit or whatever. They do a Halloween ones, right, where, you know, Elizabeth would be dressed up like Wonder Woman or whatever, right, and Macho Man would be Superman or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so.
That's good memories, for sure.
Definitely.
All right, then. That's memories of...
Saturday.
Yeah, we don't really talk about the matches. There's some that are significant, but it's more about the importance the nostalgia is for the importance of the events more than it is the matches themselves.
Yeah. Generally, something always happens.
Not even so much the images or the angles, though we can talk about those. But it is more, like you say, more for the fact that you knew you wanted to tune in because you knew you were getting something important.
We're going to see something. Yeah.
Whereas if I miss Raw on Monday, I'm pretty sure I'll be fine.
Yeah, you pretty much catch and follow through on SmackDown, right? I mean, I have missed a Raw in July, and it's, you know, I don't feel that anything's, you know, I haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, so, now we're good.
Yes, now we're good, so
we're OUT
to do it, so we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for Twitter questions. We got a few, but we'll get to those next week.
Okay, and you always send us more.
Yeah, exactly, and we'll get some more and keep going on
and
that.
If you want to email us like something did.
Yes, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. We're on Facebook as well. We've got a schwack of new likes on our Facebook page. People following us on Facebook, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
People like our show. I can't fucking believe it.
So I know. Well, they like me. But I think, am I missing anything?
They don't like me?
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
Okay.
So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Yeah, I feel like we forgot to say something this week.
Nobody likes you.